This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's never the underdog. Yes, sir. It's never the underdog. Yes, sir. It's never the underdog. Yes, sir.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined with my co-host, Raul and Shu, back from Hawaii. Here to talk about a little portal season, fellas. So I'll just run through it right quick for us. Obviously, mass exodus this year. Duke loses 7 players to the transfer portal after losing 9 the year before. A little bit more than just our typical kind of news, right? I mean, Blake's, Reeves, shoot. I think you might could have like kind of seen that a little bit. Obviously, then you have Mark Mitchell, Roach, Sean Stewart, and TJ Power. Some pretty big names for us, right? Those are guys that contributed. We talked a little bit about it, Raul, with Brennan Mark. So I guess I'll toss it to you, Shu, first. Just give me some initial thoughts here on Mark Mitchell going to Mizzou and Jeremy Roach going to Baylor.
I mean, the Mark thing's kind of strange to me. I don't know what's in his head. You know, do you just want to put up stats somewhere? I mean, obviously winning's not a priority. You wouldn't go to Mizzou, who didn't win a single conference game. Jeremy and Baylor, happy for him. Look, you know, when he decided to call it quits at Duke, I was obviously sad. We'd love to have him back, but grand scheme of things, the guy put his 4 years in. That's all we can ask for. Was a hell of a captain for us. And if he wants to maximize his earnings by going elsewhere and getting, you know, whoever will give him the biggest bag and give him the best opportunity, you know, I think a lot of Coach Drew. So happy for him to end up at Baylor.
Sure. Ro, what about you? I know that Roach hadn't announced when we recorded with Brendan. So, like, what was your kind of initial thoughts to – well, I guess we'll go past the initial thoughts since we know where he landed. So entering the portal and then ending up at Baylor, how did that sit with you?
I mean, I'm glad it's not an ACC team, and it's a team that we're, you know, we might not even see at all next year. I mean, we could, I guess, in the NCAA tournament or something. But, you know, the likelihood of having a kind of weird, awkward reunion is just lowered with him going there. In terms of him leaving, it's like, it seems like it was purely a financial decision. For me, when I heard the news, it was definitely disappointing because it's like he's really the first player I'd been like super attached to in a while, just because he'd been here so long and we'd gone to a Final Four with him, won an ACC tournament with him. So the connection was just there much more deep than like, you know, some of these one and done players and things like that. So that aspect kind of sucked, but I mean, it's probably a good fit for him. You know, Scott Drew's a great coach and stuff. To come back to the Mark Mitchell thing, Missouri is a little bit weird. I will say that they were good the year before last. I'm not sure what happened. I know they had a ton of seniors, so I guess it was just the exodus, but they were awful last year. So he should be able to put up some numbers for sure.
Yeah, that one's a bit of a weird one. I think he's a good enough player to not take like a downgrade, and I hate to call it like a downgrade, right? But I mean, you're transferring from Duke to Missouri. Let's call a spade a spade. I mean, 2-year starter for us, double digit score for us. Obviously, the shot just kind of fell apart on him a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's some guys coming in that's going to play that position. So, you know, maybe he just made a business decision. Maybe they dropped a big bag. It's closer to home. Sure. The Jeremy one for me is the toughest one because it had kind of been thought that if we were going to lose him, he would just graduate and just start the professional career somewhere, right? Or just go about his life and do something else. To lose him to another school, that hurts a bit, right? Sure, that hurts a bit. You know, happy for him though. I don't wish him any ill will or anything. It's just, it's tough, man, this whole portal thing. And Brennan said, you know, you're going to have to get used to it.
Didn't he say just don't get attached to him? I'm just going to treat these like Game of Thrones for now on. Like,
and sure, that's fine for him as someone that's just covering sports, right? But for us, it's like, dude, college is all about being attached to these guys, right? Like that's what it's about.
I think I said to you, like, well, in that case, why wouldn't I just like watch the Oklahoma City Thunder or something? They're like the same age as the college team right now, but their players are likely to be on the roster for 6 or 7 years going forward, just the way NBA contracts work. I mean, you know, obviously maybe some of the peripheral guys will shift, but like if college is no longer giving you what made college special, you're just watching an inferior product, but with like even less stability than the NBA has.
Yeah. And it's just making the roster turn. And I guess it's, you know, I mean, we've been doing it kind of that way with one and dones a lot, but it's a little bit different when now it's just free agency for everyone every year. That's the part where it's going to be hard to
the unknown too, right? Like you lose somebody and at that point you're like, well, who are we replacing it with? And it's kind of a gamble, right? Like you go into the portal, maybe this guy hits, maybe it doesn't. You have a known product. I guess that's what, you know, obviously you mentioned I was in Hawaii last week. I wake up every morning. The first thing I do is check Twitter and somebody else is like somebody that a Sean or TJ that I really thought had promise, maybe not next year per se, but you know, 2 years from now could be like studs for us. So just tough to see some of those guys like dip out real quick like that.
Well, but you've recruited them, right? Yeah, and so as fans that especially like guys like us that follow recruiting, we've been following these guys since their junior senior years in high school as well. So you've started to get like, okay, these are our guys, these are program guys. And I just don't even know if that's going to exist really anymore.
And I'm sure the staff is kind of like looking at that and being like, we spent like 2 years and all these resources and all this time recruiting this kid who then came in and played like 8 minutes a game and left. Is this even the right approach? It doesn't make sense just from kind of a time management standpoint.
So let me ask you this. Do you think there's a chance that we could have been like, hey, go somewhere next year, you know, get your playing time and then, you know, maybe be ready and come, you know, think about coming back
here? That's the crazy thing, dude. Would you take it? Like, would that even work like that? I don't know, man.
I mean, it's a free for all, right? It's a free for all. You can transfer as many times as you want.
And now you just can't even recruit those guys. You just have to like kind of identify them, maybe start to build some relationships and hope to pluck them in that year two or year three. I don't.
Yeah, you can't stash them. Them on the bench, like you know.
Yeah,
not unless you have like almost NBA payroll kind of stuff, right? Where you're just paying guys, even like the last guy on the bench is getting like $150. You know, like. Just to be here. And I'm not against, so we'll talk about the guys that we brought in. It's nothing against those guys, right? Like we've talked about it in our like message boards and our threads too, of like, I like the guys that we recruited from the portal. It's just a little bit more about the philosophy, I guess, of, you know, if you were telling me, okay, we're bringing in a 6-man freshman class and like maybe Sean or TJ or somebody felt that like, think I kind of got over recruited. I'm out. Like we've seen that in the past, fellas, right? Like we see that. Okay, sure. Like if you're the Alex Murphy or if you're somebody else, right? And you're like, yeah, I think that I got recruited over, I'm going to dip. But we bring in the 6 freshmen and then we go and add 2 people in the portal too. So it's like, well, it wasn't that, right? It was something else. So that's the tough one to swallow. You know, you're getting 2 years of Brown, which is great. You're getting 1 of Gillis. You could have got 6 from Sean and TJ. We'll see. You long play it.
And I get it where if they're like, look, we're all in on next year. We have to be ready next year because I love Sean. I don't know if he was ready to play 30 minutes a game or 28, you know, as our starting 4. Maybe. I mean, who knows? He could have took that leap. But, you know, if you go with a surefire thing, and Brown, I think Brown's going to be solid. I think Gillis is going to be solid. So I don't know.
I like just, both of them. You know, yeah, it's not yeah, them. Yeah. You know, I think yeah. I like those are great pieces to bring in.
Do we want Brown as our starting four though? I mean, that's a whole other discussion. It's like he's not shooting threes at any volume, and then you're going to put Flag at the three. Flag's not a great shooter yet. I just don't see that. So I see Brown as kind of more backing up Flag and backing up Common, or maybe Common's not ready yet, and he, you know, Brown starts the year there or something like that. But I will say I do think Stewart had a chance to be really good this year.
Sure.
Like things were starting to slow down for him a little bit. On a per minute basis, he's actually more productive than Brown. Now Brown was more efficient, but he was like a rebounding beast, high level of a shot blocker too. So it's just cleaning up those like little mental errors. If a team gets him and is willing to play him at center for a significant amount of time, I think he could really kind of destroy it at the college level.
Yeah. I think that's the question too. And that's what would be, I'd like to know is like, okay, is Malik coming in to start at the four, or is this kind of like we've heard a little bit about, you know, Common might not be ready until January. We want to make sure we got guys that can kind of, you know, keep this thing going. You don't want to waste Cooper's season. So I get that as well. Right.
And we're coming out of the gate. I mean, we got Arizona right out of the gate. I think
Kansas, scheduling Kansas, we're scheduling now. Kansas and yeah. Vegas or something too.
Kentucky.
And then whoever we get in that SEC challenge. Yep. Right. So
that's where I agree. That's where I agree with Shoe there is like, if Common is not able to start, then obviously Brown is going to be more ready to fill in that role than Stewart would be in November.
Right. Yep.
So I agree with you in that sense. So if we're really kind of intent on like, okay, we can't drop all these early season yes. games like we've been yes. doing.
Right. We got to having get a guy like
Brown. We need a one. Yes. We yeah. need a one seat.
And that's fair, you know, and again, it's nothing against those guys. It's just kind of like, well, and maybe we'll see that in 25 of like, why are we recruiting 5 and 6 minute classes? You know, like, what are we doing bringing some of these dudes in if this is what's going to be the reality?
Crickets so far in 2025, by the way.
Yeah, nothing.
I mean, nothing. So it's clear. I think John has learned from the mistake because it just got a little too congested there. And I think it forced some guys out the door. And I don't think some of them would have left if you didn't have a 6-man class coming in.
Right. Yeah.
So hopefully next year it looks a little bit better because there's more opportunity for those guys who are going to be rising sophomores.
Yeah. And I mean, at a certain point, you're almost going to have to treat this thing like a pro sports team would. Like if you want them to stay, you got to extend these guys during the season, right? Like you yeah. almost have to go ahead and then offer a Con or a whoever you're thinking is going to be here next year, like in January, you have to try to be setting that contract up for year two. Like, because if not, they're hitting the portal. Like, why would you not hit the portal right. at this point? Like, every player just hits the portal and just, if I get more, you know, promises over here, then I'll dip. If not, then I come back.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're kind of getting into our discussion about like strategy going forward a little bit here. But to me, it seems like what you want to do is recruit very small classes and then just see who stays and then fill in around the edges with the portal. You don't want to be bringing in 6-man classes because of what happened, right. you know, but you still want to be adding a Cooper Flag if you can, of course,
sure.
because those guys are transcendent and they're going to be ready to impact winning right away. And by all means, add a Harris or a Khan or whatever. And then if they stay, great, because they're going to develop. If they don't, that's when you replace them in the portal.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Years ago, replace them out of high school.
We were doing the 5 and 6 man classes, but that's because we're sending 5 guys to the league. You know, it's like right. every yeah. year we're just turning over the same, you know, the starters. And so, yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. I don't know if there's a clear way to do it to like keep continuity, you know, really, because you want to bring in some of these lower ranked guys to maybe stick around, but why would they, you know? And so it's going to be weird to see what it does like across the landscape to just culture, right? Like, how do you establish, I guess, just the coach just has to maintain that every year. You have to reteach culture to everyone that you're bringing yeah. in. I mean, I don't, and it's happening everywhere a little bit, like yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. It's just from the fan side, it's just a little tough, right? Even looking at like Carolina fans that are celebrating that Trimble came back, it's like, yeah, but he was out if he had somewhere to go, right? Like if someone would have tossed him a little bit more, he's out.
And we've seen other marquee programs have departures like of starters too.
Yeah, Arizona lost two starters from a good, a really good team.
And they played a lot. Like they got everything they started.
It's just like the Roach and Mitchell situation.
So I don't know, man. It's gonna be a bit interesting, but I don't think.
Well, that's why, like when we recruited Jaden Shute, and I like Jaden Shute, but I thought, you know, when we were recruiting him, I'm like, I don't see where he's gonna get in until he's a junior or senior, and at this day and age, like, why even have that guy? So maybe when you're recruiting, you go, hey, we like you a lot, but you probably be better off going to CC for 2 years, like you said, go to Northwestern, get all the time you can, and then. You know, if you're looking for another
home. Spend your final 2 years here if it works out, you know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that's going to be some questions because I know John has talked about, like, we still think high school recruiting, building these relationships is the way to go. But I just don't think that's going to – I don't think he's going to be able to continue that and stay competitive every single year.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if you're going to do that, you have to tank a couple of years probably.
That's the thing I was going to bring up earlier is, like, the challenge with the portal is just not having enough time to scout, right? Like, that's why it's such a crapshoot, is because, yes, there's a sample of seeing these guys in college, but you don't know how it's going to translate to your system. You don't know how it's going to translate across conferences. And you have like a month to identify the guys, form a relationship, scout, decide whether you want them, and then, you know, convince them to come in. And that's just a lot harder than scouting a high school player for 2 or 3 years and developing a deep kind of bond with them.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to just have to open up tampering.
Yeah. It's like being in a late round of a draft, right? When it starts just your time clock just goes down to nothing. Pop, we'll just take whoever, you know?
I mean, these agents are just going to have to be doing it during the year. Like if you, after McCain drops 35 in FSU, like agents probably are on the phone, right? Like highest bidder, who's out here? What's like, that's how it has to be. Cause if not, like you said, Raul, you have no window here, right? Like someone has to be kind of funneling people or at least making things known like earlier. Like I don't know, guys. It's
no, I think you do have to have like full-time portal people essentially, maybe. Like, or at least they start doing that full time like before your season's even over, like in February.
I don't know. Yeah, it's tough, man. I think like multiple things can be true with this stuff too, right? Like I can be pro player empowerment and pro them like having the right to decide and leave and transfer and be immediately like, but then I can also be frustrated as the fan of like, this is kind of lame, right? And surely for coaches, it's like, that's got to be just a nightmare situation of like constant roster flux.
I see like Kay and Roy sitting on a beach like,
cheers, bro.
Cheers. Yeah. Just watching the portal blow up.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to deal with that. Yeah. I mean,
as Brendan pointed out, there's like no other sports situation that's like this. Like, it's, you know, the NBA is not having every player in free agency every single offseason because they have to protect the product. There's no way they would let that happen. But with the NCAA as an organization being so neutered, they can't really enforce anything anymore. Like all those court decisions basically strip them of all their power. So the reason the NBA is able to, you know, kind of control player movement to the extent that they want to is because you have like this strong top-down organization. And, you know, they need to work things out with the players union, of course, but it's not like the NCAA where their power is just non-existent now. So it's like, who's going to enforce anything?
Yeah, because you have to figure something out, right? Especially with being able to like multi-transfer, right? We're not talking like one jump. You can do that. Like guys are going to start doing this every single year, maybe, right? Like we're going to have a three-time transfer. It's like, what are we doing?
it's not NIL. It's the problem. The problem is the penalty-free transfers.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I guess that's enough of a rant now, but let's take a little quick break and then let's talk about Malik and Mason.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
All right, fellas. So we've kind of discussed our little kind of personal philosophy with this thing, aired some frustrations. But let's talk about the guys we're bringing in. Now that the dust has settled a little bit, I said this from the beginning, it was never the players. It was some of the philosophical stuff that I was kind of against. What do y'all think about Malik Brown, man? Like, I think he could be a good player for us. Obviously, defensive versatility is going to be huge there. You know, I see some other things, though, that I kind of pump the brakes on when they're like, oh, he's a better defensive, better shooting Mark Mitchell. And it's like, well, he's only taking like half a three a game here, folks, right? Like, it's you know, sure, he made 37% of them, but he's taking one every two games, basically, yeah, is right. What that is. So I don't know if he's going to be that, right? Like, I think you might have to, he might be fluid enough to where you can't just ignore him, like teams were doing with Mark's shot, you know, like just because it was so flat. But what do y'all make of him at least having those 2 years? So you have potentially 2 years. He comes from the ACC. He's familiar with ACC opponents. He's up the road from the DMV area. Everyone loves to throw the term dog around, right? Like everyone we look at in the portal is a dog somehow. So that's nice. But this guy does seem to have a little bit of MF in him. So, you know, that part would be kind of cool. But what do y'all make of this, Rule? I know you've talked a little bit already about, are we planning to play him at the four? Or is he going to be like a small ball five like he was at Syracuse? Like, what's the role going to be? But in terms of just kind of bringing him into this roster, how do you see the fit?
Yeah, I'm hoping he can kind of be a Theo John-style player for us, maybe a little bit better. But
enforcer, yeah.
Yeah, kind of enforcer, tough guy. I mean, he's super efficient. That's what I like. I mean, wasn't his field goal percentage like in the 70s or something?
Yeah, 70. Yeah.
the shot, I'm with you. I don't really believe in that. Like, you really have to shoot at least three or four a game for the opponent to even care.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say we're going against somebody and they have a decision whether to focus in on Flag, Proctor, and Foster, or, you know, allow a wide open Malik Brown corner three. They're going to allow that corner three.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think he's going to be a meaningful floor spacer. I kind of like the idea of small ball five a little bit, but I know he wasn't, at least this, the rumor was he wasn't in love with having to do that at Syracuse.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you convince him and Coop to just kind of be interchangeable, or you just throw some lineups out there with him, Cooper, and Common, which is going to be kind of ridiculously overkill in terms of size. But I don't know. Shu, what about you? How do you like the fit? You like the pursuit of this guy? What do you make of it? Love the dreads.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think with you guys kind of hinted at, you know, I've heard that he didn't want to play the five. That's what I kind of seen him like, bringing him in for the early season, starting probably at the five until Common's ready, unless Common's ready right off the bat, which, you know, if in that case, I'm not real sure, because like you said, I think the plan is to give Coop as much shooting around him as we can, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, and I mean, look, the guy, if maybe it's just he needs to get more attempts up, maybe we, you know, you can put him in that corner, just tell him, hey, that's the only thing we're wanting you to work on this offseason, just hit a corner three right now, because we know he can score around the basket, and his defense is going to translate every game.
Yeah. Well, with Common, I mean, how many minutes, even if Common is kind of good off the bat, how many minutes is he realistically going to play at his size?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Freshman, yeah. Big, 25 minutes maybe?
At and most, even probably. That seems high, yeah. Right? Like, to me, that seems like, because if it takes him a while to get up to speed, assuming he doesn't have any, like, injuries at all.
And it was, that guy just started playing basketball, period.
Yeah.
You know, right. Like, learning the game, learning, like, the intricacies of this defense and everything, it's not going to be, you know, the easiest thing for somebody like that, probably.
And the timing on offense, I think Brendan talked about that a little bit, like when to set the screen, when to roll, that kind of stuff. That's going to be very important for him to figure out.
Yeah.
It even took Lively a little while to figure that stuff out. I mean, by the end of the year, he was a great lob threat, but we didn't know how to use him on offense, if you remember at the beginning of the season. So, and I think Lively was a little more advanced than Common is, simply because he'd been playing basketball a lot longer.
Yeah. And Lively only played 20 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, you know, I think Common probably, somewhere between 18 to 22 with 25, maybe at the like end of the season, if you get that like freshman Mark or freshman Lively kind of like where they just figure it out.
And if he's trying to block everything, that could increase his foul rate too. So his minutes could just be naturally suppressed by that.
Yeah. And I think that's where it works, of like the minutes at the five are going to be available, and there's going to be minutes at the three if Cooper has to come up, just because that wing spot has not really been solidified yet. But I think Malik definitely gives us a lot of flexibility in terms of how we want to play defensively. And if you do want to get out and run, and you have Cooper and him at the 4 or 5 and Foster, Proctor, and Evans, or whoever else you want to throw out there, Gillis. I don't know. I think I see it's for sure in terms of like what John wants to do defensively, right? And I mean, it's pretty much a Mark Mitchell replacement, I guess, in that regard. So that works out. Let's talk a little bit about Mason Gillis. This kind of happened pretty quickly, right? Like the name came on the radar. I didn't really hear any other talk with him in other schools. It seemed like we were on this pretty quickly, pretty right away. Captain at Purdue, 6 men of the year. I think he redshirted his freshman year, so this is his 6th season in college basketball here. Similar stuff to me in terms of just sometimes the Twitter sphere, you got to be a bit careful, right? Like when you're looking at volume and it's like, okay, we're bringing a 47% three-point shooter in, and it's like we are at 3 a game, right? Yeah. At 3 attempts a game. And it's like you have to just make sure that you're aware and understanding of these things, right? Like this isn't the NBA where you're looking at bringing someone in that's shooting 12 attempts a game at 42% or something like that, right? So it's not quite that, but still a really good player. I mean, he didn't start any games this year, but he's been like, when you look at his his box score, he's been the same dude for 4 years for them. Right now, maybe that's not a great thing, right? Like, there hasn't been a ton of like development, I guess, if you want to call it that, but he's been this steady, rock solid role player that plays about 20 minutes a game and takes about 5 shots a game and scores about 6.5
points. That's kind of what we need, right?
Yeah,
we need somebody that's just dependable.
That's what you need.
Like, you don't have to be a superstar at anything, just be dependable.
Yeah, I love this fit for him. He was the guy I was most interested in the portal simply because the fact that he's always kind of played 20 minutes a game and didn't transfer shows that he's kind of willing to accept a role. As for his shooting, I get your point about the low volume, but it's still like almost 5 times the volume of Brown, right? Like, three is very different than 0.6.
Yeah, for sure.
And then just watching some of his tape too, he moves well without the ball. He looks like a shooter.
Yeah.
So maybe we could kind of convince him to up the volume a little bit. I don't know.
And they're just going to be open ones, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know, and depending on how much you play, if you're playing 20 minutes a game, 3 is maybe about what you're going to get. You know, if you're playing tough defense and just being a guy that can fit, you know, one of those glue guys, but you know, I don't expect him to shoot 47%. I mean, that's even an outlier for him. You know, he shot 35% as a freshman, 36% as a junior. He did shoot 41% as a sophomore. So, you know, there is, you know, hopefully he's around the 40% mark. But
Well, when you're not taking a ton of attempts, that fluctuation can happen. You know what I mean? Like if you miss 5 in a row, suddenly you're down 10% or whatever.
Right.
But
you have a game where you go 4 or 5 and it's like, you know, for sure.
I also just like his he looks really strong to me, which you would expect with a 6-year guy, but he crashes the offensive glass really well. I like that as well. Supposed to be good defensively. I think I could see him, you know, I'm not sure how well he holds up at the 3. That would just be my biggest question there, because it would be nice if he could, because then that would give us a little flexibility to put, you know, Flag at the 4 if we wanted to or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can say 3 or 4. If Flag is going to be your 3, but you're putting Gillis at the 4 with Brown or whatever, or flip those guys around, because on offense, he's going to be a 3-and-D player, right? And so if he could do that, I might would start him, you know? Yeah. I mean, who else right now do you have that's going to do that?
It's, to me, the important thing is not what you call the positions. It's just, you got to have 3 shooters out there at least with Flag. You know what I mean? So if that's going to be the 1, 2, and 3, or that's going to be the 1, 2, and 4, it doesn't really matter.
Sure. Yeah.
And then on defense, I think is where it matters a little bit more, because you want Cooper to be able to kind of, you know,
free roam,
offer some, rim protection.
Yeah.
Free safety.
Be able to play that safety role. I mean, I'm big fans of both of these guys bringing them in. I think they're going to kind of create some of that intensity, you know, some of that like toughness that maybe we've been lacking a little bit. You do get a little older. I love that you have 2 years of eligibility from Malik. Big fan of bringing in guys that we can keep around for a year or two. Obviously, Gillis is, you know, he can't stay anymore, right? This is it for him. But apparently, there's still some talks of a few other names floating around. I don't think the Brea kid from Dayton is going to be a realist. I mean, he is just looking for a bag, I guess, right? Or just like the biggest role at the biggest blue boy that he can find. And why wouldn't you? Like, that's what I would do too if I was a 50% 3-point shooter at Dayton, looking for something. Not sure that fits here. I think it would fit, but now that you have Gillis, if you're going to bring in somebody, to me, it would just be the only hole in the roster, the way I see it, is just a low usage backup kind of combo point guard that can come in and just spell Foster or Proctor a little bit, can kind of run the show a little bit. Maybe a steadier version of a Jalen Blake's or something, you know, I don't know.
I'd like to have like a slashing guard or something, because I mean, Foster's shown he can get to the rim. Finishing with his left was still left a little to be desired. But, you know, Proctor, we haven't really seen him, you know, going at the basket a lot this first 2 years. So maybe we'll see more of that junior year. But that was the only thing I was thinking we look for. But in the portal, another guard is somebody that can kind of create, get into the paint. Because Jeremy did that a lot for us, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
At that point, though, you're maybe talking about a starting level player when you start getting into a guy who can put real pressure on the rim versus like what Josh was saying sounded to me more like a kind of game manager point guard. Sure. Like, Blake's was a little too erratic to be a game manager, but maybe more like Goldwire by the time he was like a junior or senior, when he was just kind of nice and steady.
Yeah, a Tyler Thornton, right? Like a freshman Quinn Cook, freshman sophomore Quinn Cook. Well, sophomore Quinn was really good, but you know what I'm saying? Like, because it's going to be hard to sell someone to come in behind and their starter job is not really there, right? Now, unless you're looking at a kid that had a good freshman season somewhere or a good sophomore season and they have 2 years, and you're like, all right, well, are you willing to come in and kind of serve in this capacity? And then, hey, year two, year three here, there might be something for you. I don't know. But we'll see. Apparently, we're still looking. So I know the kid from BYU has been tossed around a little bit. That might be a legit option. But I don't know. I mean, BYU is really good this year too, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know, I think as a fan, you have to really kind of step back and like the Duke name, what it means to you is not really what it's going to mean to like all these kids in the portal, right? Because they're all looking at this in terms of where can I play the most, where can I develop the most, and where can I get the most money?
Yeah.
And Duke's not going to be that for like not everyone, right? Probably for like very little it's going to be that for. So
that's why I don't see the fit with Brea. I mean, he's a shooter and that's it, right? Like I think 90% of his attempts are from three. So he doesn't really pass. He doesn't really dribble. You've already got Gillis. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, why not try to get some of that shooting from one of the freshman guards that's coming in? You know, we got three fairly highly rated freshman guards coming in, or you can call them wings, or, you know, maybe small four, depending on how you think of Harris or Evans or whatever. But the chances that none of them are going to pop seem low to me. I think that you can kind of count historically on at least one of those three guys being good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know which one it'll be, but
you're hoping two are playable and one is good, right? Yep. Like that's kind of what you're hoping for, which I guess that's a good enough segue as it is. So there has been a lot of chatter recently. Obviously, we just had the Jordan Brand game. We had the Hoop Summit game or the World game. We had and then Commons playing with like the Olympics over in the African League right now. So let's talk a little bit about those. I know we kind of caught some highlights. I don't know if y'all watched the game or not, but any takeaways from that? We put a lot of guys in this game, so if you were watching, you got a chance to witness some of these guys. To me, you know, Flag was just Flag, right? Like that's what he's gonna do. Obviously, bro, we were talking offline here that Harper looks really damn good. You know, like this kid looks like a top three, top five pick. Harris didn't get to play a whole lot here, but what were y'all's takeaways on the guys in action?
I mean, I know Khan didn't score a lot. What, he finished like 8 points, but the baskets I saw him get, I just like this. Just he plays at this kind of his own speed. Doesn't get sped up by anything. Doesn't take wild, uncontested, you know, just crazy shots. Just plays within the game. I just think he's got a high IQ. I see him playing more than people probably expected next year.
Yeah, I was impressed with his ability to kind of get in the lane. He's mm-hmm. pretty shifty. And then Harris, to me, I know he didn't do much offensively, but I was surprised at how big he looked. Like, he looked significantly bigger than Khan to me or Evans. And that made me wonder, like, if he is at all remotely ready, is there some potential for him at the three? He's got, like, a very stocky, strong frame that I think could hold up as a small forward. I mean, I know he's the lowest rated of all of them, but he's kind of been rising towards the end of high school here. So
yeah, he ended up the final ranking, like, in the top 30 now.
Yeah, well, in ESPN, he was like 21. I don't know, in 247. I'd have to go back and look if on their
commercials. Yeah, I think so, it was like 29. Jump, though, either way.
Yeah. And looks, you know, again, we're looking for a very specific role here, right? You don't have to be a 20-point-per-game scorer. Now, maybe Evans or someone can be a 15-point-per-game scorer next year. Like, sure. It's just a little bit of question on the frame, but I thought he was played really well in this game, though. You know, we've heard some of the shot selection stuff, but he took 11 shots, so he takes quite a bit, but he made five. You know, I thought that was fine.
He's got that such a smooth Brandon Ingram style mid-range jumper there.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, it's impossible not to think of Ingram. I know he's smaller, you know, 3 inches shorter, I think, but just the way he moves and that kind of skinny frame.
Yeah. Yeah, they look kind of similar too.
Yes, exactly. Like, right?
Just yeah. There's a similarity there.
Except he's way more demonstrative than Ingram.
Like that's what I was talking to say too. Yeah.
Every shot.
There was a lot of trash talk in this game. I don't know if Flagg's a big trash talker. I don't know if he's just
one. He seems like it.
But I mean, I know he's demonstrative. But I don't know how much he chatters. But sure. Evans is going to talk. Malik Brown is going to talk. We know Tyrese is going to talk. This team might, you know, might have a little MF or NO, man. At least they're going to talk it, you know. But then again, we've, you know, no offense to some guys we've had here previously, but we've had some talkers before.
Yeah, Jeremy liked to talk, you know.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, I think another thing too, and maybe I'm being pretty Debbie Downer on this, is like one thing that kind of cracks me up is that you see all the takes. Right. Everybody's a take artist. You know, Knipple's going to do this or Harris is going to do that. And it's just like, yeah, but didn't we literally just have this conversation about TJ Power? Like y'all were saying he was going to start at the three. He's the Peach Jam MVP. Kid plays, 30 minutes all year and he's out. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what we get. But
yeah, it's there's some very short term memory stuff going on, you know, and it's like, why do we do this every year where we just always inflate the guys who are coming in, and it's not fair to them, and it also sets your expectations, you know, incorrectly too. So then in November or December you're pissed off when somebody's like not great right away, or you have a false impression of what their game's gonna be, you know what I mean? Like with Lively, like everybody's like, why isn't he scoring like 20 points a game? Because that's not his game, you know. And it's like the people expecting Common to come in and just bomb threes.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. Look at his not high school, but look at his percentages up to this point. It's like 26% or something.
And just the way that college has played, right? Like high school has played much more freely than colleges, and it has played more freely in the NBA as well. The spacing in a lot of high school teams are better than what you see in college, the way they muck the game up and slow the game down. So that's where I'm like, okay, you're showing me a 2-minute highlight clip and saying Cooper can play the three. I told you, see, look, it's right here. And it's like, yeah, but what about a college? Where the spacing just gets completely mucked up, right? And the game gets completely mucked up when you play these teams. Half the teams in college play that way to try to maintain relevance because they can't compete with elite talent, right? It's just so we have to muck it up. That's where I'm concerned.
I'm also
when things
not,
slow down like that.
I'm not impressed by like a highlight of Cooper taking somebody off the dribble and hitting a contested 18 footer. Like that's not. Oh, well, clearly he can play the three because he can do that. It's not a good shot to begin with. And second of all, it's like that can't be your bread and butter offense.
Yeah, right. And to me, it's like, well, if he's doing that, imagine how much more he could do that at the four, taking a big off the dribble and just instead of doing that little mid-range fadeaway, he's going to punch it at the rim.
Right,
you know, it's going to blow past him. But, well, we did talk about Gong, but also he looked, I mean, it looks like he could play a little bit too. I mean, that was another thing. So if Brown's coming in, you got Common, you got Coop. Is Gongba going to see any time here, fellas? Like, I mean, what's left? A few scraps at the five here? I mean, I don't know. I think he's the biggest question mark for me in terms of what his role is going to be, what the buy-in's going to be. Maybe he's just cool, kind of like, let me just rehab this thing a little bit, get fully back healthy, contribute any way I can, and be ready to start as a sophomore, maybe. I don't know. What are y'all making of that situation?
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks ago, I thought he was going to play, but then we went and added, you know, two more guys to the mix that probably take up some of those minutes. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and like, how realistic is it to ask him to not play much at all this year and then wait until next year to get a major role? Like we've just gone through this, right? We've seen the dangers of doing that. Yeah. Now, maybe the fact that we don't have a big incoming class, like I mentioned earlier, that might help because at least you're like, oh, well, there's a clear role for me if I return. But the chances that a player of his ranking doesn't transfer if he's playing 5 minutes a game this season, to me, seems like a big roll of the dice.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe that's where some of the Coop at the three is just going to have to be necessity if you're going to try to feed some of these mouths, right? Like, I don't know.
I mean, we're sure
contrast styles for some of these guys, too.
Yeah, but if you're playing Koopa, I mean, maybe that pushes Harris to no minutes too, right? Where he's in that spot.
Same situation, so
yeah.
Yeah.
Because you got, you know.
There's only 200 minutes a game to give out, so, yeah. You know.
And I have no doubt that Flag at the three with, like, Brown and Mullick would probably look really good defensively. That's not even what I'm worried about.
Yeah,
it's like, how is that going to score, though? Right. Like, I mean, bear in mind that Tyrese Proctor has never shot higher than 35% from three. Like, he gets his attempts up, and then, but you know, he's never been like that accurate a shooter. And then Foster was like at 40%, but very low volume. Is that going to hold up when he like jacks up his attempts?
It just doesn't seem like a pure shooter guy, right? No. Like, that seems to be, he gets that off of other stuff, not just I'm standing here as a shooter.
Well, with that kind of weird form, he really kind of needs to load up. So I don't see him being an off the dribble shooter.
Yeah.
And then you have Flag, I think, is I saw a tweet that kind of added up all his available stats, right? And he's like at 34% for his entire high school career. So not awful, but you're coming in with a line that's slightly farther back, you know, better defenses, presumably. Is he going to shoot well enough to be a meaningful floor spacer?
Yeah. I think that has to be the all offseason, right? Guys just got to get shots up, and we got to get threes up, and we got to get comfortable shooting, taking and making these. We'll see. I think what is interesting with this class is just the makeup of it is like, I don't know, maybe it's not, but it seems like Gongba and Khan kind of are more these like half court, methodical, like not up and down kind of guys. Whereas like Flag and like Evan, like those are more the like up tempo guys. So we'll see how it all comes together. But
we're not going to run, right?
Yeah, we're not going to run. We showed that in the tournament, right? And we played some really good ball in the tournament, but it was because John was just kind of like, I'm going to deflate the ball a little bit here, right? So, but any other final parting shots before we get out of here? Shu, how was Hawaii? You want to give us a rundown of that?
Swam with turtles, saw some cool sunsets, hated golf.
Well.
It's all well. Ate some good food, had a good time with my old roommate. Shout out Moezy. Appreciate the hospitality.
How was the jet lag coming back?
Yeah, that part sucks. That part I don't recommend. Zero stars.
Was it like a 12-hour flight or something from here?
Yeah, it's like 12 hours. I don't know. By the time I got home, I hadn't slept in like 30-some hours, and I slept for like the whole weekend to get ready for work, back to reality.
Yeah, that's brutal.
We need more subscribers. Need more podcast money.
Rate, review,
and subscribe.
Rate, review, subscribe, man. 5 stars, nice comments, banter, all that good stuff. So, you know, we've been doing these about once a week, so we'll kind of continue to trickle along here, try to get some guests lined up. May 1st is the deadline to enter the portal, so I think we're going to figure some stuff out really, really soon here. At this point, fellas, I mean, we're looking at maybe one more addition, I would think, right? One more playable addition. So but shouts to you, Shu. I asked you if you were going over under on two playable guys coming in through the portal, and you smashed the over. Now, we didn't think we were losing seven, but here we are. You know, you tricked me again.
Computer trickers.
We'll see. So yeah, in the meantime, you can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. You can find us on the boards at thedevilsden.com. Keep the faces strong and the verb high. Go Duke.